My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit us.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you all once again. This afternoon, we're going to be studying one of the Psalms. I truly enjoy studying the Psalms. I hope you do as well, as we can gain a great understanding of how worthy our God is of our praise. We can understand His Word more appropriately and apply it to our lives, and we can see how God has blessed us and how those of old, those that wrote the Psalms, desired God's blessings. This afternoon, we are going to study Psalm 67. Psalm 67, and we're going to go through the psalm in its entirety. And in the midst of the study, we will also sing, "Give Me the Bible," song number 154 in our book. So let's begin by reading the psalm in its entirety, and then we'll go back verse by verse and study this psalm together. God, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. What a beautiful psalm. A short psalm, but a beautiful psalm. And we don't know who the author is for sure. It certainly sounds like David. Some say we would be bold to say that this is not David, but we don't know for sure who wrote this psalm. But we do know that in verse 1, we see a reference to Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. There where it says, "Be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us." Well, that reminds us of Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26, where we read, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." We see a relationship between God's face shining upon His creation, shining upon His people, and blessings and graciousness. Well, that word shine means to lighten, to make light, to enlighten one's eyes, which were in darkness, to call him to life again, to refresh, to gladden, to make or give favor. When God's face shines upon us, we then receive favor from God. And that is what is being portrayed here. God's mercy, God's blessings are a result of the face of God, if you will, metaphorically speaking, and the shine that beams out of it upon us and upon His creation. That last word there, Selah, I don't believe we've studied it yet as we've looked at the Psalms. It is a musical term, a technical musical term. Some of our musicians may be very familiar with it. That probably showed a pause in the music. A pause at which point then one would reflect upon that which was being sung. And so here at this point, we would then stop and pause, and we would think about that which we had just sang. The mercy of God, the blessings of God, the shining face of God that beams upon us. We then go on to verse 2. "That Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations." Well, what did the psalmist have in mind when he said, "God be merciful unto us, God bless us, cause Your face to shine upon us"? Did he have in mind maybe financial gain? Did he have in mind economic prosperity? No, that's not what he had in mind at all. As a matter of fact, what he had in mind was the way of God. Not only that the way of God could be known unto them, but likewise, mercy would be shown unto them, and God's way would then be known upon all the earth, upon all of God's creation. Yes, an increase in wealth is certainly a blessing, but we must remember that a man's life consisteth not in the things, in the abundance of the things which he possesseth, as Jesus tells us in Luke 12 and verse 15. Rather, it is the way of God being known upon all the earth. That is what is seen here as a blessing by view of the psalmist. It's interesting there that he is relating the mercy of God and the blessing of God to the entire earth then knowing the way of God. Well, when we think about God's mercy, when we think about God's blessings, oftentimes we don't associate that with evangelism. But evangelism, the opportunity to reach out to the lost, to teach them the gospel, to teach them about God, is a blessing. It is by the mercy of God and the grace of God that we get to participate in such an activity. Sometimes we look upon it as something that is dreadful, something that is fearful, something that is far above us. But no, that's not the way it is viewed by the psalmist. It is viewed by the mercy of God, that one has the opportunity to make the way of God known to all the earth. Notice what Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at verse 6, he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, we spoke last Sunday afternoon about the need to be little in our own eyes. Well, Paul certainly was little in his own eyes. He thought that he was the less of the least of all the saints. But even though he was so low on the rung of the ladder, he thought that preaching the gospel was an opportunity given by the grace of God. That is quite opposite as to how the world views it, is it not? I was recently studying a false religion that stemmed directly from our brotherhood. You know, all false religions stem from the Church of Christ when it comes to denominationalism, and when it involves Christendom, that is, those who claim to be following Christianity. All denominationalism stemmed and came out of the Church of Christ, and it all went into erroneous ways of error. But recently I was studying one group that still has chosen to hold to the name Churches of Christ. They've attached additional names to it, of course. They become a denominational hierarchy. But it's very interesting the way that it works. Those that are at the top are not accountable to anyone, are not responsible to anyone in regards to who they preach the gospel to. But those on the bottom are very much responsible for reaching out and evangelizing to a certain number of people each and every day. That's very opposite as to how it took place in the first century. Those at the top, the apostles, viewed themselves, here Paul, as least of all the saints. Paul viewed himself as less of least of all the saints and saw preaching the gospel as an opportunity given by the grace of God that he got an opportunity to participate in. Not something that was too high and mighty for him and something that belonged rather to the lesser folk of the church. That's not how Paul viewed it at all. It is a gracious blessing to be able to preach the gospel and spread the news of Jehovah in all the land. Notice there the end of verse 2 of Psalm 67. Thy saving health among all nations. What will save our health? Is it universal health care? Is it better access to prescription drugs? Is it an increase in medical technology? No, what is going to save our ultimate health and what really matters is the way of God. and the way of God being known to all the nations. The Proverbs writer, Solomon, puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The word of God brings good health. Chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word gives us purpose. God's word gives us life. God's word gives us understanding. It is a source of health to our soul and to our bones. And that is what the psalmist understands as he is desiring that the mercy of God be known upon all the earth and his saving health among all nations. We are so thankful for God's word, and we ought to ask for the Bible. We ought to request that God give us the Bible, and we have it before us today to study. What a blessing that is. Let us sing 154 and stand at this time. Song number 154.
Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storms can hide that radiance peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal, hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven's shining portals. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
You may be seated. As we continue our study of Psalm 67, let us consider now verse 3, and let's connect it to the first two verses we've already examined. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. It's interesting that praise is being commanded after verse 2, thy way is being requested to be known upon all the earth. As God's way, as His precepts, as His judgments, as His testimonies, as His law is known, as knowledge is gained, praise is a result. As we ask ourselves, why do the people of this generation seem uninterested when it comes to praising God? Partly the reason is because there is lack of knowledge when it comes to God and His law. The more a people know regarding God and His law, number one, the better suited they are to be right with God, because they will know what they must do in order to be acceptable unto Him. But number two, then, they are provoked to praise God so that they are able to be acceptable in His sight. Knowledge provokes praise. And we see that throughout the Psalms. Note with me Psalm chapter 43. Psalm 43, verses 3 through 4. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God. Let's go to Psalm 56 and verse 10. Psalm 56 and verse 10. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. Now let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll see several in this chapter, as this chapter primarily deals with, over and over again, the greatness of God's word. Let's begin there in verse 7. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Drop down now to verse 14. Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. Now let's go to verse 54. Verse 54. 119, 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Now 164. 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. And then finally 171, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. If we are struggling for reason to praise God, if we are struggling for motivation to praise God, if we are struggling for a proper heart to praise God, then we must go to His word, and we must gain from it that which He has instructed us, and upon doing so, we will then be provoked and motivated to praise Him with all of our being. Knowledge provokes praise. And we see this in Psalm 67. Let's drop now to verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. A pause. Why should the psalmist, by inspiration, give a pause here? Well, let's think about the judgment of God for a second. The judgment of God ought to be something that causes us to pause and to ponder. As we think about the eternal judgment of our souls and the type of life that we are living, the type of pathway we are walking down, then it ought to cause us to pause and think about God's eternal judgment. Yes, God rules over all the nations. Daniel tells us this in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. See, it's vain for man to put their trust in men. Mankind is not going to be the final standard of judgment when it comes to eternity. God will. And God rules in the kingdoms of men. Jesus tells us plainly in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus Christ is going to judge all the earth by the words that he has spoken, by the words of the New Testament. And all of creation, all the world will be judged in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Who? God the Father. God the Father hath ordained God the Christ in the one responsible for judgment. He will judge all the world. No one will escape from the judgment of the New Testament. And that is what we see the psalmist here explaining, that yes, God's law in the Old Testament times, God's law, all the nations of the earth were under the government of God's law, of God's rule, of God's judgment. Verse 5 is similar to verse 3 of Psalm 67. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Why? Because God has delivered unto us His judgment. He is a merciful God. He's not going to just judge us without giving us an opportunity to be right with Him. Yet we do not deserve that. Yet it is by His nature that He is merciful and gracious toward us. And therefore, again, that provokes us to praise. Finally then, in verses 6 and 7, we read, Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. See, much of the world gets this psalm backwards. They want to put verses 6 and 7 in place of verse 2 and then put verse 2 down at verse 7. See, they want God's blessings to be all about their financial increase and economic gain. And then after they gain and after they're rewarded financially, then they'll praise God. No, no, that's not how this psalm is written. See, God is praised. God is merciful. Why? Because He's given His way. He's given His judgments. The world should be living and abiding in those judgments. And then when it does, what occurs? The financial gain, the economic blessings, the harvest. And we see that principle throughout the Bible. We see Jesus explaining that to us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we make our primary focus serving the Lord, abiding in His will, and spreading His will to all the nations of the earth based upon His mercy and graciousness, then we will be blessed physically and be cared for by Him. Are you a member of the Lord's army this afternoon? Have you obeyed that gracious gospel that's been given unto us? Been baptized for the remission of your sins based upon your belief and confession in Christ? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. He wanted to be baptized. He saw there was water, and he asked what hindered him. And Philip told him, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Verse 36. Then he confessed and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Water immersion, baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Have you taken advantage of the gracious gospel this afternoon? Are you one with Jesus Christ today? If not, you have the opportunity to do so. If you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've left the Lord, and you need to be restored and come back home, we're here to assist you. If you have any spiritual need, please come forward as all together we stand and sing.